Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and everyone out there listening.
Yes, we're so pleased to be here with you today. We know you've got a busy day full of family attractions and events and getting together and eating and all that good stuff. And the podcast of the show will be available, but it will have been recorded on Thanksgiving. So this is our gift to you. We wanted to do something for you, and we've got a wonderful guest, if we can connect with him, guys. So let's not, you know, his name is Segs Jennings. He's in the band The Ruts, D.C., Ruts D.C., it became later, and they just had a reunion tour, which they did before one of the founding members died from lung cancer in June. Henry Rollins came over and did the vocals for them, and they did it at the Academy in Brixton, and it was a huge success, absolutely packed and reviewed by everybody, and calling them one of the greatest live bands in the world, which is pretty darned incredible, considering that was the Daily Telegraph, who are good. They actually, you know, have good reviewers for music. So that was a big coup, and so Segs is just marvelous. He interviewed me with Tara Rez for FFR UK's radio television show on the internet, and I got real interested. I thought we should, you know, invite him on and see. But then as I started to do the research, I found out this is a very important person. He's just so well thought of and such a great songwriter, such a great producer. And I started to get really thrilled. I mean, it's great. Would you like to hear a song, Rick? I mean, I was thinking
I'd love to hear what he's been doing.
Two of them haven't finished downloading, unfortunately, and this may be a problem, but there's a song here which has downloaded called No Time to Kill. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Here's a person. Hello? It says switchboard, and then it says callers, and I thought it meant someone was there, but it's not. It's just a tab. Okay, sorry about that. Huh. So this song is called No Time to Kill, and I'd like to hear it because I've been dying to, and I didn't get the tracks soon enough, and the ones I put up from YouTube, I wasn't sure which ones Sigs or John would like to play. So this track is called No Time to Kill, and off we go.
What we ask for, as my good friend John Lydon, actually, not my good friend, transparency is all we ask for.
What a great track, isn't it?
That was fabulous. I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. And I, when I pulled up some of the YouTube songs, the live songs that they've been playing the last year, they've been doing all these shows all over. And, God, I tried to post, you know, quite a few of them yesterday, but it was so busy. I had so much going on, and so I didn't get a chance to put up as many as I wanted to. But, yeah, isn't that amazing?
I would love to see them live. Wow.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, now, you know Dream Foundry are going to see them in...
Yes.
I heard them talking. I think it was Sarf End. I'm not sure what that place is, but that's what it looked like, the way they spelt it.
Yeah.
They
were quite excited, from what I understand, about going.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I believe they were. They, I mean, really very excited, which is divine. And Kevin Hewick posted some wonderful stories about the Ruts gigs, you know, and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's quite obvious. They're absolutely wonderful. And apart from being just a wonderful live band, tight as heck, the productions are so good, and I understand that was one of the reasons. I'm so hoping that Segs is able to beat the traffic in London. Tara's, here we go.
Excellent.
Segs? John? Oh, he was there. He's gone.
Hmm.
Oh, well, maybe he'll come back.
Probably, most likely.
I hope so, but that's good news. At least we had, you know, something going on there. Anyway, yes, I've got two more tracks, but I'm having problems processing them. We've had issues with the type of file we got, so it's just been a bit difficult. But I'm hoping he'll call back, and then we can introduce our guest and get on with it. But
I'm sure he will.
In the meantime, everybody, like I said, we're very happy to have a little portion of your day, even though we may not be spending it with you on this actual day, but you'll know that we were thinking of you when we recorded this show. Yes, I'm kind of sitting here. Oh, here we go. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, John.
Hi, Archie. How are you doing? Segsy here. Sorry, we've had a bit of trouble with the internet and getting set up. Yeah, I'm
good. This is Rick Hunt. Rick, this is John, do you prefer John or Segs?
Oh, call me Segs if you like, but you can call me John because it's you, Ed.
Hi, Segs.
It's
welcome.
Hi. How you doing, man? How you doing?
Good.
Sorry, I'm a little bit late because I had to travel across London and then suddenly we couldn't get the Wi-Fi working, so we're just calling from Tara's phone now.
Well, you guys, listen, thank you so much. This is always so nerve-wracking trying to... get everyone coordinated and songs and this and that. And I always try to make it real informal, but you know what it's like when you actually are putting
I'm
the show together. It's not informal at all.
It's all good.
So
I'm in a strange office.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool.
Is it strange, weird, or strange, ooh?
It's strange. I'm sort of in a glass box.
That's strange.
Very strange. Tell us about New Zealand. Oh man, I love New Zealand. Have you ever been to New Zealand?
I was there for a day. They kept me in a room doing interviews. I wish my pal Lee Black Childers went out and got a Maori tattoo up a mountain, but I didn't.
Oh yeah. Well, we did because we've been on tour, but we did like 5 gigs in Australia, which was great. But then I've been to Australia before, although I never played with the Ruts or Ruts DC. But then we went to New Zealand, which I was blown away by because we did 3 gigs at Christchurch first, and Christchurch is where they recently had the earthquake, you know. So there's a whole different vibe there, and I've got some really good pictures actually of the church because there was a church with a big steeple, and the steeple is no longer there, and the clocks, you know.
Wow.
And there's loads of, all you can see is like big empty parking lots, you know, where, and it's so easy to park here. And they said, yeah, because they were all buildings before. So you go like,
oh no, they fell down.
Buildings.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it was really bad. 180 people died. So. I'm not saying it was good to be in New Zealand because of that, but it was good. It's good to see reality, you know, and talk to the people.
Yeah.
And they were very grateful we were there. Good gig there. And then we did Wellington, where which is on the other island, the North Island, I think. And we had to fly. It was really...
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, we've lost him.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, never mind. He'll be back.
Yeah.
I felt stupid because I was holding my phone and looking at the screen, and all of a sudden I saw him start to, you know, call dropped was written on the screen. And I was just fascinated hearing what he was saying about playing in Wellington on the North Island.
Mm-hmm.
Rats.
Now, they've been touring quite a lot, haven't they?
I think so. I mean, I know they played all over the UK this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pretty much all over. And then I don't know if they did Europe, but they did Brixton in June, a benefit for one of the founding members. I believe his name, I know his last name is Fox. I'm trying to, Malcolm Fox, I believe. And then they went to Australia. And New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Ah, here he is.
I got cut off there, Ange, because I'm no longer on the internet.
How rude of them!
I'm not on the internet now. We're just on the landline, but that, not the landline, but on the mobile. But that didn't work either. So it's slightly, I'm slightly flighty. Yeah, Paul Fox.
I'm on that line too. I couldn't make the Skype thing work for me. Every time I did it,
no.
It started to feed back. It was driving me crazy.
It's kind of rubbish, really, but I'm very, very frustrated at the moment about technology, and everybody said how great it is. But when you actually want to use it, traveling around the world, trying to be in touch with people online, it's not as easy as it should be, you know.
No, it's
but
not easy.
Cool.
I agree with you. It's possible, but like my husband says all the time, he spends half his time tweaking, fixing, making it work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's a waste of time. It's supposed to save time, not drive you bats.
Yeah, it is. And they keep saying there's all these new apps and it's this and it's that, you know, it's like, but anyway, so continuing, it was good. It was really good, the New Zealand. We went on to Wellington, a very windy day, and flew there on this sort of prop jet, which was flying about everywhere, proper piloting. And then we finished up in Auckland, and that was a great gig. So got back, a little bit of jet lag, but back on it now.
Oh, well, congratulations. Honestly, Segs, that's a, you know, it's a long way. I went there on a ship and then flew back. Yeah, I went to Honolulu, and I was lecturing on the QE2.
Wow.
Going to Australia. Well, yeah, which was great. But when I flew back, because I didn't want to have jet lag when I got there, so I went on a ship, and I like ships.
Yeah.
And the ship was actually my gig, because they always used to get me to come and do talks and book signings on the QE2.
Right.
But anyway, the point being, I'm just agreeing with you. When I took that plane back, I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Because the ship was fine.
Yeah.
You don't notice it.
Yeah.
1 hour
and
a day.
Eleven days. Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't fit 11 days into my life at the moment.
Yeah. That's good,
yeah.
Honey.
But times,
well, tell
times
us
have fit
what's
different
been happening.
In those days. What's been happening?
How is it?
Well, we're just full on, really. Since, I mean, you know, when we had that interview, which was last September, was it? I can't remember. But we've, or was it this September? So we've been on the 38-day tour. We're number 30. We've done 33 now of 38.
Wow.
So down. So we've done. But it's, you know, there's been some time back in London. But we did Germany, Poland. Just one gig in Poland, Czech Republic, and then Prague. Yeah, which is in Czech, and then. Then we did 2 weeks in England, UK tour, and then Australia and New Zealand. So that brings us up to 33. And we've got 5 gigs next week supporting. We're supporting a band called The Levellers and a band called Dreadzone. And we're just doing a 40-minute set for that, just to round off the year gig-wise. And then we're going to do our new album.
Wow.
So it's kind of full on.
Wonderful.
It's full on. Yeah, and the good news is that the songs are growing and the lyrics are flowing, and I'm a poet and I didn't know it. Quite good. And
well,
I've been writing a lot with the wonderful Tara Rez. We've been writing a bit, and I've been writing, and it's been good. So we're ready to do, we've got like 14 songs, and they're all finished lyrically.
Wow.
As the band goes, we've been rehearsing, and we just do a bit of jamming, and we do a bit of writing on acoustic, and I can't really believe it's happening, but I've decided to, instead of denying it, just to embrace it. So I'm ready. So that's good. And I'm actually at my publisher's right now. I just signed a publishing deal. You don't get any money these days until you sell any records. they're having they have this sort of Network Thursday thing. But the day is the Christmas one. I mean, it's only November, so I had to come. So I've come up here, and they've given me an office sort of thing to do the interviewing before. And then we're going to do a couple of acoustic songs tonight. So I'm going to do a new one and an old one. So,
oh,
yeah,
how fabulous!
Sort of
it's
good
great.
At the moment, Ange. Good. And what about yourself? How you been?
The best news, Sags. I'm so excited for you. It's like, yay! Well done!
Yay! And what about you? You've been busy? You're busy. You're always busy, honey.
Well, yeah, we keep busy. Rick's illustrated two books for me, and he's such a great artist. He has an amazing performance thing. But Rick, please tell Sags about The Laughing Couple.
Well, Sags, my wife is a Native American storyteller. And we go to different places like colleges and schools and different cultural events and all over New England. And she tells traditional woodland stories. And as she's doing that, I'm in the background creating a spontaneous 4x8-foot mural that we gift to whoever hosts us. And they're always different. I don't do the same thing all the time. So she can tell the same story.
Yeah. So do you do just what comes into your mind on that night?
Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a couple of musician friends who have been chomping at the bit for a couple of years. They want me to get on stage with them and do that. So we'll see what happens.
I'd love to see where can I see your stuff? Where can I see your stuff, Rick?
On Facebook.
Oh, great. Okay. I'll get the link. Get us all linked up. I'd love to see that.
Friend me.
I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. If you friend me, I can show you all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And strangely, Rick, along the way, it must have been about 15, 20 years ago now, I got asked to drive. There was this storytelling festival in London. And people came from everywhere. There was Irish storytellers.
Huh.
There was some Jamaican ones. And there were some Native American ones from way up Canada way. One of them was Via Hilbert. And I got to drive her around, and she used to tell these stories, very similar, like woodland stories, like you're saying. So I've actually experienced a bit of that, which I think most people haven't. But they were just, every one of them was really, they were really all really beautiful people, you know. Yeah, so I see where you're coming from. Yeah, so I'd like to see a bit of that.
Well, friend me on Facebook, and I'll inundate you with images.
It's like a show every day. It's just wonderful. Marvelous drawings, wonderful comments.
Now, besides doing your music, Segs, are you a writer? Do you illustrate things? Do you paint? Or do any other creative outlets?
Not really. It's sort of full on, really, the music thing, really. And then being a father as well. So I do a bit of that. That's kind of, people will say, well, you know, what do you do? And I say, I'm a musician. And they say, what do you do for a hobby? And I said, music. I was never trained to paint or to illustrate or to do anything, but I've got, I don't think I've got a talent at all, but a couple of things I've done back in the day, thinking, oh, I could do something. And I think maybe I could do it if I got into it. I don't know whether I'd be really good, but I think one must just do it, whether it's good or not, you know. So, I mean, I think that's just for another phase of my life.
The important thing is that when you're doing it, that you enjoy it. It doesn't matter what comes out. If you're loving what you're doing, then for me,
you know, in this country, very much so, which is one of our biggest sort of bugbears, really, is I'm nearly 60 now, so I come out of the years I came out of. Really, you in my working class upbringing, I was never really encouraged to be. You're never going to be a drawer or a musician.
Right.
You just weren't encouraged to do that, and it was just poo, really. Or a dancer, for that matter, or anything else. So the ones that really were, just drew, they had to draw, and they were just drawing. And so they came through, but only the very the top people came through, whereas I think probably there's some other, a lot of people have got a lot of talent that was undiscovered and probably sometimes suppressed, you know? And that goes to music as well.
Well,
which is
as
why.
You're talking, I'm thinking of all the musicians that are, out there, the well-known ones who started out in art schools,
Yeah, that was one sort of thing, art school. We didn't come out of that. I didn't come out of that. I came out of a sort of a bit of a repressed sort of working class sort of attitude. And really, I'm interviewing myself here, but the thing is, basically,
I'm sorry, honey.
No, it's great. I'm just
talking being remiss and not asking you that question?
No, I know you're listening, Angie. I'm just saying, I know, I'm just going to say now, but that's what was great about punk. The punk movement was like, well, you can do this, so it was really great that you saw fellow people that were from that working class repression suddenly just going, oh, I'm going to do this, and then everybody could do it. And that changed a lot of the world, So I'm very grateful for that movement.
Well, it did.
And and I'm still trying to, I try to pass that message on, and not to when I meet kids that have got some songs, I go, just do it. Whereas I think back in the day, it was like, yeah, your songs are no good. But actually, everybody's songs are good. I worked with a guy the other day, I think he was 14, and his mum got me round there and said, look, I'd hate to do this to you, Segs, but I think my son's really talented. And I sort of, my eyes rolled to heaven, but I said, will you please come round? And I went round there. I'm sure you've been through this, Angie. And I went round there, and they put me on a chair in the middle of their front room, and the guy started to play, and he just started singing and his lyrics, and my jaw hit the floor. I thought, this guy's great.
Oh, good.
So my preconceptions were like completely blown out of the water, and I went in the studio and helped him do his first songs.
Nice.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think you've got to spread the love.
Yes, you do. We've had a lot of people on who have been really surprised me. Folks that give back so much, who teach, I'm talking about musicians at the moment, And it surprised me. All kinds of great guys whose technique and stage presence I've admired. Chris Robeson from Elephant's Memory, and, he was with the New York Dolls for a while. Gary Von Sycock, is that how I say how we say his name?
I don't know.
Rick? Gary Van Sciak, who was also in Elephant's Memory. And then all these other folks that are teaching, and it's so great that you did this.
Well, I didn't.
Absolutely.
I don't think, I suppose, I don't think I'm a... sometimes I have the right to teach, but that's rubbish as well. And what's happening to me is, something's coming up from within me after all these years. I'm realizing that if I'd have been encouraged early on, God knows what would have happened, but I'm happy with where I am. But do you know what I mean? It's suddenly I'm surrounded by people that are saying, these are older people, and people like Tara are saying, that's brilliant, that lyric, and it's nice, you need someone to do that. That's brilliant, that painting, Rick, that's fantastic
you
what
do.
You're doing, Angie. It doesn't matter how old you are or how people think you're established, you just need to, you know, you,
I just,
people,
I
you,
think
need,
everyone,
you need praise,
Yeah, everyone who's so generous and compassionate to choose the life of an artist deserves to come on a show and be able to talk about all the stuff that they do, that they've got, that they want to help promote, that they want to make you aware of, and just because it's fun. I want to hear about it. You know what I mean?
It's our passion.
I love hearing what you've been doing.
And I was taken by you, Angie, because, you know, just when we did that interview, it was kind of weird for me because I went, really? I'm, you know, actually, we got on our house on fire, and I thought, wow, she's, like, living it, man, and she's, like, got so much to give, and that's the reason I'm here. There's no other reason, really.
It's just because I thought
like mine should stay together, you know.
Well, I was so impressed. I knew you were going to be a wonderful person because I value Tara's judgment. But when we did the interview and I got a chance to see you, it was so fabulous. I was like, oh, man, he's just as great as he talks. And he sings, you know.
It was great.
Well, you know
I just
how
couldn't
that
believe
is.
It,
it's such
really.
A nice thing.
It is a nice thing. And the other thing, Angie's, you know, I've met a lot of people that are kind of famous but bitter and unhappy. And, you know, they, I've got to do another interview and, another show tonight. And, you know, but that's, I figure that's what we do. And, you know,
well, isn't that what we signed up for?
Sometimes you get tired.
That's what we signed on for.
That's what we signed on for,
I mean, you're going to take this life, then you got to understand that it's not going to be comfortable all the time. No one ever said that.
No, but there's ups and downs in all, you know, if you're going to be creative in any way, you're always going to look at your work sometimes and go, that's rubbish, I'm just going to, I'm going to throw that one in the bin. We've all done that.
As you were self-doubt.
As you were self-doubt. Get some of those paintings
Mitch
back
out. Yeah,
Mitch
was not enough praise.
Yeah, that's all good. So, we're live out there, are we? Yeah.
Well, yes, and then it's a podcast later. So, you know, 10 minutes after the show, everyone can listen to it. And we're doing Rick has done a wonderful drawing of you. I hope you got a chance to see it. I'm sure Tara will show you if you didn't.
Oh, yeah, she's online now, I think.
And the drawings of all of our guests are going to be included in a book called Radio Portraits, which is three or four pages on each guest with the drawing, your best quotes from the radio show, and photographs.
Great.
Yeah.
That's really good.
You know, why do all this work for free and not let everyone have a chance to have an actual souvenir, a book which has...
That's really good, and I think it's very, very important. I mean, in this day and age, it's to document everything, you know, because there's so much of it's gone. You know, we just had a book out, or the book's still out, really. But we had to trawl through. This guy did a load of research, fine. But of course, in these days, you can actually document it, so everything would have been documented. But in the past, things used to happen, and it's great as well to have the memory, but. You know, I think that's a really good concept, actually, what you're saying about.
Well, I was going to ask you about your wonderful. Don't you now have a DVD of the? I think you've already got a. Is the album or the DVD available first of the show with Malcolm Fox in? June?
With Paul Fox. Paul Fox.
Paul Fox.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was. It's fine. There was There is a DVD, but it was done at the time, and it's pretty sort of low quality. But a lot of bands turned up on that night. It's great with us. We performed with Henry Rollins. So what I'm trying to do is get that back and just do a pure sort of Ruts DC Ruts one, because it was Ruts Rollins. It's quite a big thing. You know? I'm trying to get Henry to be on our new album, because he said he would, but he's such a busy guy. The great thing through that was we became. Rollins is quite. I don't know if you've ever met him, Ange, but he's quite a force.
I have. I've met him once or twice. I'm a huge fan. I never told him that I was a huge fan. I met him and then I just went off to watch him work. And I think like you, I'm very impressed by him. I like his poetry. I like his work. Everything he's done.
He's certainly a force. He's a force.
Yes.
And, because we met him and I didn't know what to expect, really. I thought he could have been a big, in this country, we look at people like, well, okay, show us what you could do. But actually,
exactly.
He's a very sensitive man, very nice, and I've ended up being his friend, as I've ended up being your friend, which is I would never have thought when I was watching your career, or call it a career, or your life when I was 16, and seeing you, David, and watching that, who's this girl, Angie Bowie? I said this in the interview. Who'd have thought that we'd become friends? It's very weird. And I could say the same for Henry in a different way, because we were a bit contemporary.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, again, you've got to embrace the joys and surprises of life. I think some people are surprised.
Well,
when they
I hope
me.
It works that he comes to do it, because he's such a nice person, but he's such a great front man. So you know what I mean? It's not like you've got some charming, socially conscious person who just fannies about and doesn't know what to do. He's really good on stage. So, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So he's a force. And there you go. It's like he comes to London and I kind of have to go to the shows. And I've seen three of his shows and he's got better and better. And I can't sit at any concert for 2.5 hours. But I do with him. Because he's whipping. And then you go backstage.
Yes.
And there's nobody backstage. You said,
really?
He goes, you go backstage, there's only you two, and maybe two other people. And there's a kind of, he doesn't drink, so there's a sort of lone coffee pot there. And there you are. And it's like, this is totally the antithesis of rock and roll. And I love that too. I love, he's just there he's there. He uses his own microphone. At the end of the day, he takes off the microphone, puts it in his pocket, and walks backstage. He's a crazy guy.
Cool.
I like
That's
that.
That's so wild, isn't it?
Yeah, he is wild, but he's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. So Ange, what's great? I'll send him an email, and if he's in contact, he'll get back to. I'll say hi. I said the other day, and my constant one. I said Henry, the album's coming together. The songs are growing, the music's flowing. I took a picture of my lyrics out across the table on bits of paper, like you'd want to see anybody's lyrics. And he just got back straight away and said, really great news to hear that,
that's so reassuring, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it's nice
you feel good. You feel appreciated and acknowledged.
It's great. And, someone, funny enough, I got a little message the other day from this guy that I used to write with, a guy called Aaron. And he said, how you doing? I said, I just found this old message. And I sent it. I said, how are you doing? He said, oh, great to hear you. He said, I've been following you. You've been really busy. And he said, I've got a new band and I've written this song. I've got a new song. He's a great writer. And he sent me this song over. And, maybe I didn't like their version too much. But the melody that he'd written in the lyrics, I said, listen. I said, Rihanna should be doing this. This should be a huge thing. I'm going to see my publisher tonight, and I'm going to tell him, are you published? And he said, I'm not. And I said, well, I'm going to put a word in because this song should be massive. Not by you, maybe, but he went, God, really? I really appreciate that. And I went, well, I spread the love. It's a good song. It should
That's
be.
That's it.
I don't want anything for that. I just want people, I want him to, hopefully he'll buy me a pint of Guinness. If he becomes a millionaire.
Yes. either that or do some good head banging as the song's playing.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Boy, God, I used to love seeing all the... Those punk bands were so much fun when they would do that thing where the whole audience would be moving and running at each other. Do you remember that thing?
Yeah, the mosh pit, as they call it, the mosh pit. We had the spitting as well, which was strange because no one ever mentions that anymore. But the kind of sign of appreciation was like you used to sometimes just be 100 people at the front of a 1,000 audience spitting. So I've got pictures of
you. Oh, God, how revolting.
Yeah, it was revolting, but it was a strange thing at the time because it was almost like right, we're not going to clap. This is a punk thing. We're going to show our appreciation by spitting. So I quite liked it.
I did. Well, it is wild. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, but then it just stopped. And it never been mentioned since.
that's so
world,
funny.
well, here in Littleton. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Where are you?
I'm in Littleton, New Hampshire, in the States.
Oh, okay.
In the northeast portion of the States. And I live in a little white bread community called Littleton. And ironically, G.G. Allen was from here and is buried here in Littleton. And fans come to his grave, and the way they pay tribute is to excrement on it.
Oh, God. That's very strange. I suppose, I suppose I created that conversation then. I mean, that's
you
a strange
boys.
Thing. I suppose, as performance arts, I suppose, you know, I don't get it, but I suppose, where you stop, that's quite good, I suppose, you know.
Now the ruts were at ground zero during the punk movement.
We were there in 77.
We
made a record in 78, which took us ages to get the money to do, and then it took us another, I think, 9-10 months to get the money together to release it. And how it actually happened was we were working in a garage, pumping gas. As Frank Zappa would say, pump, you know, you're going to wind up working in the gas station. But we started off working in a gas station, and we were doing it to sort of be, you know, we used to have a right laugh, and the guy who used to run it, he sold some of his jewellery to put the record out.
So he
ended up becoming our manager. He's passed on now, and he was waiting to pick me up at the station once. He met this girl and ended up marrying her and going to live in Los Angeles. So the last time I went to Los Angeles, Los Angeles is what it is, and of course you go there and you go to Cactus Charlie's and you go to Barney's Beanie. But this time, the last time I went, I was going down to the hospital to the cancer unit, I just find that kind of irony amazing. Here's this fantastic place in Los Angeles, and I spent a lot of time in the cancer ward, you know.
Wow.
It was kind of he passed on in the end, but he had a big brain tumor. But I miss him, and he was the main manager of the Ruts. He didn't really know what he was doing, but he just said, I'm going to manage you, you know, it's good.
A person like that who has a willing heart and a good motive will do less
heart.
Damage. Well, they do less damage than someone ambitious who can roughshod over you. Yes.
I think you, of all people, have seen that firsthand. I mean, we were lucky in a way where we didn't have that kind of manager. We signed a record deal in the end with Virgin Records, and we stupidly refused to have a music business lawyer because we said we didn't want to be part of the music business. We didn't get any royalties for 13 years because we had a terrible deal.
That's bad.
But as you say, he did have a willing heart, and I think the reason we survived for a while was because he was a lovely man, you know. He was one of the gang.
Right.
So I've never really had a big top manager. I don't want to mention Tony DeFries, but, you know, that kind of vibe where you just completely, you've got no chance, man. You're just in the pack of dogs.
exactly. It's I was just trying to think of some of the other great punk performers that were all a part of doing your first album in 78.
Yeah. I mean, in 77, I used to love alternative TV, quite underrated, and And you remember Wayne County? It became Jane County.
I was Jane County, and I remember seeing Drew Blood in the front. Who Drew Blood is my daughter's father. And,
right. Okay.
So you know that's I'm trying to think. That's I can't remember his first name. I'm seeing his name in front of me. A guy who played with Andrew, Ben Beardsley.
Oh, okay.
Who also recorded and did some of the production for Broken English for Marianne Faithfull. So
right.
All good
great album.
Musical provenance, you know.
Yeah.
And Don Letts.
And a very
and then
very strange. Sorry.
Yeah.
You go.
No. I didn't want to talk over you. I'm sorry. I was.
No. I didn't want to talk over you. I was just going to tell a funny story about because my first ever gig was with Alternative TV. It was with Alternative TV and Wayne County just before we became Jane. And I didn't really know what to do. Not many people can remember their first performance, but I remember going, well, I don't know. I was just playing a bass in a band, but I didn't know how to move or whether I should drink or what the hell I should do. But I had I thought I have half a beer, so I had half a beer. And I thought, oh. That's really kind of mixing with the adrenaline. I thought, well, I better go to the toilet. And I'm in the toilet just before we went on. And Wayne County standing beside me having a piss, you know. And then I looked up and this famous, she's got the record out, you know, he's got the record out. You don't want to, I kind of, whether I can swear, if you don't want to F me, baby, then F off. And and then shortly after that became Jane. And I don't think I've ever forgotten that. You know, that was my rock and roll induction, really. And then
years later, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And then years later, at the kind of being in the mud, you know, going to New York. That's a rock and roll induction. And you get to New York. The first time I went to New York was until 1980, playing Hurrahs. And going to the Mud Club and going to these after hours clubs, Berlin, and being down the Bowery, and it's just like amazing.
Yeah, that's so wild.
It's
just great hearing your stories about how it was for you and who it was who kind of was the window, you know, where you looked out the window and went, "Oh my God, you can do the world like that."
I always feel very grateful that I was even part of that, and I got swept up into it. Really, it was a movement that was so strong that I got swept up into it. And looking back, I didn't even think about it. And so, we also got involved in the whole Rock Against Racism thing, and the whole thing that was going on. There was a lot of reggae going on, and playing with bands like Misty and Roots and black bands and stuff like that. This was all going on at the time, and that will never be repeated in that way. That doesn't really happen in the same way anymore. That was fabulous being part of that. And people say, oh, it's great what you did, and like it was a crusade for me. But actually, all I was doing was being part of something that I didn't have a choice, really. You know, you just get
right.
swept up, don't you? You know, you get swept
well,
up, and that's great.
Yeah. It is, and it's, of course, it immediately puts you in my list of favorite people, because...
But that's nice.
Well, you had the time and the inclination to support something, and the fact that you took the time and followed the inclination makes me think, wow, there's a decent person.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head when you just said a willing heart. You know, I'll take that. I'll take that as if you said I had a willing heart, I think I have, and I think that's I will accept that kind of that acceptance, if you see what I mean. But I never thought about it before, but that's I really like what you said, a willing heart. That's fantastic. Can I use that?
Well, the way you talked about him, you were so tender at the memory, at the recollection. And that's a willing heart, isn't it? That's someone who was always trying to do their best for you.
Yeah.
Like you said, it doesn't necessarily mean it was the best thing or the most impactful, but at no point did he ever vary from doing the best he possibly could for you with what he had.
And there was no selfishness and no abuse, which I think, you know, would be, I would, if you can go through life like that, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's bloody brilliant.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
I
didn't know what it was going to be like, but actually what it is just a conversation, which is fantastic. We've gone on to subjects that I didn't think we'd go to, which is fantastic.
Well, that's okay.
I'm enjoying it.
You don't mind.
I feel like you're in the room. So we're going to see you anytime. No, are you going to ever see you? When am I? I'm going to have to come over and see you, Angie, with Tara.
Well, I'm going to have to come over and see you because I've got to go over and do some recording with Jude Rollins in February.
Okay.
So we may get a chance to actually clap eyes on each other, and then you'll come back over here. And
yeah. Are you singing or are you doing poetry or when you say recording?
What am I doing? No, I'm doing, I'm doing another musical album. The first album, Moon Goddess, has been fabulous and it's done its job, and now it's time for new music. What I did is I produced a bunch of stuff, backing tracks, songs, record, all kinds of different things, so that when I'm making videos, I don't have any argument with anybody about the music. I have music that will fit just about everything I want to do.
That's great.
You see what I mean? So then my productions are the soundtrack to my videos. And it means I don't have to worry about a person's song being used without permission or they're not getting paid, which would upset me enormously. So you know what I mean? I would just prefer to use my own music.
Well,
it makes my life simpler.
You're keeping it real, basically.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Great. I'd like to hear. I said you're keeping it real, really, in the same way.
Well, yeah, I just...
Andy having
there
a
was no
heart,
other
you know,
way
you,
for me to do it. I can't... thank
you. Know
you
what?
Understand.
Yeah, I understand. Can I just say at this point, you know, you're inspirational, really, to me, because it's like you're still there, and sometimes you think... People do say, well, when are you going to retire? To me. And I go, well... I'm worried about that, you know. And actually, somebody said to me the other day, how do you see the future for you? And I said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to keep writing songs till the day I die.
Absolutely.
I look at you, Ange, and I go, retirement? I mean, it's not on the horizon, is it?
No,
great
retirement.
Thing.
Yeah,
no,
retirement doesn't exist in our vocabulary.
The willing heart will live forever. The willing heart will live forever. I'm writing lyrics here.
Yeah, please do. Please write.
We are writing lyrics.
I love your... I went to YouTube and I started posting your songs because I wanted, you know, I wanted folks to... I know they all know you. I found out how enormously popular you are.
Yeah.
Oh, babe, Kevin Hewitt was chatting about two shows he saw you in and talks about it like it was just rapture. It was so sweet. It was fantastic. And
I got to say we're on it at the moment, and I'm on it, and in a way where I haven't been like, I don't think I've been like that before. So I'm just really sort of in that moment and accepting that. And I think that's because of the people around me just allowing me to be that. And that's a great feeling. And as I said earlier, it's like it's a privilege. And it's, God, I'm in a position now where I think, well, I can't let them down. I can't let myself down. And you've just got to do it. The song, I've got some really good songs, actually. And I didn't think that would ever happen.
You're just fabulous. I mean, I was telling Rick, and I think Rick saw a couple of the ones I posted. I was blown away. I was so impressed. I'm just so thrilled and so happy that you're meeting the kind of people that do support you, like Tara and all the people you got around you that, like you said, are helping make this an exciting time for you. This is
it's fantastic, and the new album's going to be just a huge milestone in my life, because just to continue those things, and I guess that people, I mean, I think like that about artists, that they just do it and they live it and they, oh, it's another album, we do that. But as you and I know, to actually write a body of songs is a huge thing. It's part of your soul. if you're any good, it's part of your soul, and you torture yourself for that. But I've had some experiences lately, Ange, where I had this one the other day where I was dreaming, and I got taken to the top of the mountain by these goddesses, and I was with what I thought was goddesses, and I was talking to the goddess, and she said, she said, "Have you met my boyfriend?" You know, and I went, "No, that bit out of the car." I said, "I know you, didn't you write this song?" And he went, "I did." And he started, I said, and I started singing the song at him, and the song was, "Your music must destroy your music." And I woke up and I wrote like three verses and that chorus. And I woke up and I wasn't actually talking to the guy. I don't know where that came from. So some of the songs are coming.
Brilliant.
Some of the songs, I'm accepting it. And I've had two of those. I did a collaboration with someone the other day. And I was saying, "I really like that. And, oh, I love your suggestions." I woke up, I was in a dream. And so that is amazing. Well, I think I'm allowing myself to be a poet. I'm embarrassed to say that, but I think really any advice to anybody out there that it's okay to be a freak. It's okay to be tortured.
Of course it is.
It's okay to feel alone sometimes.
Yes, and it's okay to be a poet.
If you tap into something like that and you think you're cracking up, you're not. You just tune into it and enjoy it and be that freak, you know. And that's my message at the moment.
That's right.
I've got another song saying it's okay to be a freak. Because I know what it's like to feel alone, you know. And I think many people out there do, you know.
Yeah, no, thanks. I just wanted to tell you that we played No Time to Kill when we were waiting for you to arrive.
Yeah,
and it was fabulous.
Good, yeah.
The reason I didn't play the other two is my program is kaput, and because it's Thanksgiving here, they're still processing. They're down at the bottom of the page. And
right.
I didn't want you to think that I asked you to do all that work and I wasn't playing your songs. That's not true. They're just
fine.
not ready.
I'm enjoying talking.
I'm so glad, honey.
No Time to Kill.
But you know what we've done? I need you to say goodbye to our audience.
Okay.
Give them a great message, because we've got 2 minutes left.
Okay, oh God.
How did it go so fast?
Well, I turned up late. But
no
fault of my own.
You were fine.
Well
it goes on for a few extra minutes.
Yeah, well, I want to say goodbye to everyone who's listening and bothering to tune in. That's great. Keep the faith. Keep listening to what Angie's doing, because it's marvelous. And the last message is, it's okay to be a freak.
Oh, I second that emotion. It's okay to be a freak.
Oh, what a great
give me your
hand. Smokey Robinson.
All great things.
Okay.
I resemble that remark.
And Rick, lovely to meet you. I'm going to watch your try and find your stuff and joining hands around the globe. Very, very important.
I'm friends with Tara on Facebook, so you can find me through her easily.
Fantastic. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Thank you for being
done
here.
Are we done now? We got to go now. I was just getting started.
No.
Yeah. No. Not yet. You don't have to go yet, my friend.
Yeah, okay.
I just love chatting with you. It's been so wonderful. And I had a feeling we would have the best time.
Yeah, well...
Let's do it again. If you've got time...
If you do come over in February, we'll go out for dinner and we'll hook up. And it's going to be fabulous.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
And don't worry about the
paparazzi. Yes, it will be fabulous.
Don't worry about the paparazzi. We can work out that.
Okay, we won't worry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, Segs Jennings, you are just a delight. Thank you so much for being with us. Please give my love to Tara.
I will. Fantastic.
And
are we going to say goodbye, or are we going to carry on?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to say goodbye now, because now it's 38. We've got 37 seconds. So, Rick, please say your goodbyes and Segs, and everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for
joining
us.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm a big fan of Segs Jennings from now to
eternity. And I'm a big fan of Angie Bowie Jones. And Rick.
Oh, thank you.
Soon, yeah? Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much
Bye,
for being
everyone.
On the show. So.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you,
ciao,
Angie.
Ciao.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You're welcome. Bye, everyone.
Ciao. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bloody hell.